It be upon my lips. Amen. Please be seated. Really strikes me in the gospel today. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean?" These 10 are healed, and only one turns back and praises God for the healing. The others go off as if this is something they deserve or should be expected and requires no thanks whatsoever. Only one turns back, and Jesus asked, "Were not the 10 made clean? The other 9, where are they?" When we look at ourselves as a congregation, if we are a worshiping congregation, then we are not the 9 who went away, but we are, if we have heard the word and turned and returned to praise God, we are the one who has realized where the healing has come from. Each one of us, in some way in our lives, great or small, has been in need of healing and has found that healing in the life of faith. And at some point also found themselves in this community of believers where we worship and pray together, where we love each other with the love of Christ. As a congregation, we have been challenged to go out into the community that surrounds us and call into worship and into community people who in many cases have not been to church in years. In some cases, we've had one woman came here who had never been in the church in her life and came here for the first time to church after receiving one of our little flyers in the mail inviting her. And so we know in our bones almost that this is a congregation called by God to go out and reach into the neighborhoods and call people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, call people into an opportunity, a weekly, even daily opportunity to pray, to study God's word, to worship, and to grow more and more deeply in our walk. We have in the last year gone out 4 times into the cities around here, both by mailings and by personal invitation, inviting neighbors and friends and co-workers to come and visit and experience worship and discover church again, having perhaps not been for quite some time. And that is something which we will do again and again. It is a part of the call on us as a congregation. However, I believe that there is a change for a time in what our call is, what we are to do. All of you who know me know that I am extraordinarily evangelistic. Tall will even witness to this last night in a restaurant. I invited our waitress to come to church. And so this is not unusual for me. And I think it's a part of what this church is. It's not just George and George in this church. I think it's a part of what this church is. There is a vision for this church of its members going out like lights into darkness and leading people back in to the true light, which is Jesus Christ. But I believe that for the next little while, the next few months, and I don't know how long that is, that the call on us now is not to go out and to specifically go out in an evangelistic fashion as a congregation and draw the community in. That opportunity continues to exist for each of us in our daily life and should never be set down. That is a continual obligation. But I believe that we as a congregation for the next few months are called to love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. to deepen our walk of faith, to put deep roots down in the faith, to study God's Word together, to nurture each other, to pastor each other, to invite one another over to our homes, to go out and meet with each other and really just get to know one another, to encourage each other in the faith. Now, this is not the sort of thing, as I think about it and as I thought about preaching about it, it's easy for me to preach a sermon quite dramatically about evangelism. And it's easy for me to preach a sermon quite dramatically about conviction, particularly conviction of sin, because each of us sin, and we need to repent of that sin and come to the cross of Christ. And I can preach sermons like that with great fire, because I feel that fire when I preach them. It's a little harder to talk about a time of gathering together, of nurture, with fire. Right? It's not contradictory, but it's hard to do it in the same way. And so, my presentation as I speak today is a little more relaxed, a little more casual, maybe a little more nurturing. But I don't want you to mistake that for lack of conviction. I'll make this challenge to everyone here. I challenge everyone who is a regular part of this congregation, who comes here more than once, to find someone else in this congregation in the course of this week or this month that you do not know well and invite them over to your house. No agenda. Just invite them over for tea or for dinner, to play croquet some Saturday morning. Just take the opportunity to get to know each other. So I offer each person, each single person here today, that challenge. Find someone else in this congregation who you don't know well already and invite them over to your house or your apartment or your car if you live in the car. Wherever it is that you live, wherever it is that you normally, your normal habitation in the week, I challenge you to find someone else in the congregation and invite them over and spend time with them. I think we need to take this time to nurture each other, to encourage each other in the faith. In fact, I'd like you to look just briefly, if you would, if you have your Bible with you. If not, there's a pew Bible there, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And those of you with pew Bibles, the first person to find it, shout out the page number. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1347 in the pew Bible. And go to verse 5 of chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. Paul is writing here to the church in Thessalonica, and he is encouraging them in their life in faith together. I encourage you to read the whole letter to the Thessalonians, but particularly I want to look at verses 11 through 26. So if you go to verse 11 of chapter 5 here, I'll read this and then we'll go through it a bit. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. These are the folks in this congregation who do ministry to each of us. Be at peace among yourselves. And specifically, let me elaborate on this a little bit. There are times and seasons in a congregation, and particularly when a congregation is undergoing change, when it is appropriate that we challenge, and that we challenge each other in the things that we do and in the way that we worship. If we bring in a grand piano, which I think one of the keys is now out of tune on, we'll fix that this week. Several of them are, but one obviously. We bring in a grand piano. Some folks preferred the upright that we had, right? The altar that we have here, we lowered 6 inches, the center portion of it, because in part it was dangerous and also restricted movement up on the altar. Some folks thought that was the best thing we'd ever done in this congregation. Other folks thought it was the worst. There are very few things that a priest can do in a congregation where some people won't think it's horrible and other people will think it's just wonderful. It's virtually impossible to do anything without there being at least some criticism. That criticism is appropriate. It's welcomed. I don't mind it. But there can be an edge to criticism sometimes of each other. This is not a personal thing. This is the way we all treat each other. There can be an edge to criticism sometimes, which is harmful. And even when that criticism is appropriate and challenging, there can be a way in which that disrupts a sense of peace and a sense of nurture. And so my encouragement, not forever, but for this time ahead of us, is that we be at peace among ourselves, that we be peacemakers, that rather than being challengers, and there is a time and a season for that, for the next while we be peacemakers and we find ways to encourage each other. And where challenges come up, we find ways to make peace among ourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. And here, Paul is both encouraging in the way I just discussed it, about being peacemakers among one another, but also that we encourage each other. Every one of us gets faint-hearted now and again. Every one of us falls into idleness now and then. And I encourage us to admonish each other in this, not in a negative way, but to encourage. You know, if it's a little tough to get up and do the thing that we know we ought to do, pray that someone will come along and just put his or her arm around your waist and say, come on, I'm going to help. I'm going to help you do this. So that each of us in our lives, not just in this church, but in our faith, have encouragers next to us in this nurturing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I'm going to take this again as a moment. As we work to sink our roots deep in the faith, one of the things that we are admonished to do is abstain from every form of evil. Now, I don't know what your favorite sin is, but every one of us have a favorite sin, something that we readily fall into, small or great, whether it is easy anger with my wife, not taking enough time for my children when I know they deserve it and have it coming, and I just feel like doing something else, whether it is an unholy interest in sex, whether it is greed or dishonesty. Each of us has some personal sin which is familiar to us. Take the next couple of months as an opportunity to challenge that sin with the help of the Holy Spirit, with prayer, with encouragement from those around you who know that you struggle with it, and face it and live a life abstaining from evil as best we can. And when we fail, take it to the Lord and apologize for it, repent. And then Paul offers this blessing. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. This means to make you pure. And this is not something we do by ourselves. This is, you know, the Pharisees, used to be called the bruised and bleeding ones, because they would walk about, and if they saw a woman in the street, in order to avoid looking at the woman, because it might bring thoughts of adultery into their minds, they would close their eyes. Whenever they spotted any woman on the street, they would close their eyes. And they walked into poles as a result, and buildings, and ended up bloody as a result. And that's why they were referred to as the bruised and bleeding ones. It's not that kind of holiness that we're talking about, which is really a kind of self-righteousness and a self-empowerment. The idea that I can do this by myself, I can be holy by myself, I can even seek holiness or sanctification by myself. Can't do it, guaranteed. And any notion that we can do this and that by doing this we will gain God's favor or gain heaven is mistaken. This is something we do by the power of the Holy Spirit and with the sanctification that God gives us through His grace. And so Paul says, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do this. This is referring to Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do this. He will allow this sanctification to work in your life. And then finally, beloved, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss, which is what we do when we share the peace here. All of this to say that this is a time ahead of us now when we are to pastor one another. I would like to visit every person in this church in the months ahead. I'd like each of you, if you're willing, to invite me over to your homes and just share your heart. I'll share my heart with you. I'd like you to share your heart with me. What is it that really matters in your life? What is it that matters in your worship? What is it that you want to be fed by when you come to church? Share your heart and allow me, if I may, to come and be pastor to you and visit you in your homes and do that. And pastor each other. That's what's ahead of us. Now, this is not without purpose. We will go out again. This is like breathing, you know? The air comes in and the air goes out. It's like a heart beating. We will again go out and invite folks into this congregation who are in great need, I promise, are in great need. But we want them to find here, when they arrive, a congregation deep in its own faith, deep in its love of Jesus Christ, deep in its adoration of the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that congregation will be able to minister to and to nurture and to love and to bring to the cross of Christ those who are in such great need. Such great need. But for us now, for the little time ahead, it's a time for us to deepen, to put those roots as deep in that soil of the Lord as we can, and to grow in faith with Him, and to love each other with the love of Christ. That's what we're called to do. May all of us do it. May all of us do it with great faith. In Jesus' name, amen.